thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Hello. Today's July 17th, I almost said June, and it's Friday, and we're here with Nonsense and Security. How was your week? I hope it was good. Mine was fine. I hope. Actually, I don't know, because we're recording this in the past, but...
In the past. Don't you technically do everything in the past? Think about that, chat.
Oh.
And while you're thinking about it, think about Google and what they're doing for your security.
Google bans stalkerware ads. The new Google ads policy that bans stalkerware ads enters into effect on August 11th. This seems like kind of far in the future for something that would be described as stalkerware. Stalkerware seems like something that should stop right now. Like it's maybe an oversight or an abuse of the platform.
Now, Krista, you are in a marriage. If you found out that stalkerware was being used, would that be like... call it off type stuff?
I think I would just be confused because we've been in lockdown since March. Like, we've not really been anywhere outside of going to the store. Well, so I'd be like, why even do this? You know, where I was.
Not necessarily your location, but like, you know, your text messages and stuff like that.
I would still be confused because it's like, just ask me and I'll show you. I don't really care. Like,
now, the article author did go out of their way to point out that they're not actually banning the stalkerware. If you want a rooted Android phone that's going to spy on your spouse or to buy software to do that, you absolutely can still do that. You just can't advertise it.
Right. But...
oh, that makes you feel good.
You got to think, like, of all the people that buy stalkerware, how many of them weren't looking for stalkerware?
I think it's going to make it more legit. It's like, this software is so good, they're not allowed to advertise it. Yeah, sign me up for that.
But when you think, you know, it's like, all right, I'm gonna jump online and get a recipe for steak. Oh, I would like to spy on my spouse. Now that you mention it.
It's like firearms advertisements and things like that. It's like, you can get this military grade, you know, night vision, thermal infrared. Like, you don't need to advertise that. You can just have that product and have like one web page with like an order form about it that has never been indexed by Google, and you will have more orders than you can keep up with.
Be interesting to see those, like the guys who actually got caught. She's just like caught up in the advertising. It's like, all right, I will do it. I'll spy on her. I shouldn't gender that. Could go either way. Now, Krista, what if you were the spy? What if you became suspicious? Would you ever consider stalkerware?
No. I would just ask.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lie. Like, you get a response, but you don't believe it.
I don't think I would resort to that.
Probably shouldn't. Signal has long been touted by security experts and freedom fighters as one of the only ways that you should communicate when you're worried that your communications might be spied upon. And one of the beautiful things about Signal is that they don't store anything on their server. If there's a breach, if there's a leak, if law enforcement come fishing, hey, we got nothing to give you, bro, except... they're making a change.
Signal's new pin feature worries cybersecurity experts. The popular encrypted app is now going to store your contacts in the cloud. Experts are worried this compromises users' privacy. The idea with this is to move away from the physical device. Like, you have a physical number on Signal that's like your physical phone number. The idea with this pin number thing is that you could have a number that you take with you to different devices or things in the future. The problem with it is that the way that Signal is implementing it is that your contact list is stored on the server, and they don't really have an easy way to opt out of that.
You could, they say, because of the backlash, they're going to add a feature that you could opt out of it. It's a long process, apparently. But they're like, hey, if you do this, every time we do a software update, you're going to lose your contact list, which doesn't, it's not really realistic. I mean, why not just let me keep it on one of my clients?
Make the client smart and the network dumb? Where have I heard that before?
So, yeah, unfortunate. Especially when there's probably a lot of people in, I don't know, Hong Kong?
People were using it here.
It's like, you're a known associate of it. Like, didn't this happen during McCarthyism? It's like, you're a known associate of this communist whatever. I've got in my hand a list of 20 communists that...
Isn't that ironic? That then they were hunting for the communists. Now it's the communists doing the hunting. Things change, but they stay the same.
In Soviet China, something something hunts you.
We have done several stories about this, and unfortunately, if you are one of those people who likes to buy really cheap phones, and you're like, hey, you're not going to get one over on me. I'm not giving you $1,000 for a stupid smartphone. Dumb phone is fine for me. I don't need your features. Or maybe you just want like a really cheap smartphone. There is a little bit of an issue that maybe they don't spend as much time vetting these.
It's a dark side.
As they do the big gainers.
More pre-installed malware has been found in budget U.S. smartphones. Cheap phones often have trade-offs, but researchers say this should never compromise user safety. Google, are you paying attention? This is why you need to have the option of vanilla Android on whatever your handset is. And you could totally make this happen. This is your fault for not managing your devices better.
Yeah, but you're muddying the waters here. This is not about like Verizon putting garbage on your phone. That's not even, I would agree that's malware.
Yeah, they do that.
And that should be, but this is actual, like, you know, advertising adware,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's like actual in the virus vault malware being installed by these phones that you buy.
Yeah, because it's another way to make money off of them. Because it's like, oh, you got a cheap phone. This is one of the things that you're, you know, the compromises that you're making. And it's like, you're not even cognizant of that this is one of the compromises you're making. So it's not a valid transaction.
They're going to get their money one way or the other. Microsoft has been doing some things to try and make the Windows kernel a little bit more robust against malware, and this is the latest step.
Microsoft's new KDP tech blocks malware by making parts of the Windows kernel read-only. It's kernel data protection. So it's currently being tested in the Windows 10 Insider builds. This is probably going to be good. I think that historically, there used to be some antivirus software that would do really crazy things inside the kernel, but I think Windows 10 has already taken a lot of steps to try to stop antivirus vendors from doing that. This is going to be the next step, so this might actually be pretty reasonable.
You think, like, they were doing the stock photo, and it's like, yeah, we got this really sexy Asus board. what kind of chip are we going to put in there? And they're like, no, forget it. Just leave it empty. We don't need anybody getting a headache from that. So yeah, that's nice to see Microsoft doing something for security, anything. This one is not surprising because I think probably the most common point of failure in the average household is the router for most people. And the scope is pretty crazy for this, though. The headline is a big number.
Over 100 Wi-Fi routers fail major security tests. Protect yourself now. Not a single model passes security examination, including D-Link, Linksys, and Netgear. Now, the examination was things like fairly innocuous things, mostly, but also some things like universal plug and play. So some of the stuff that they're failing on are really just defaults that the router has that are maybe a little bit more open than it should be, and stuff that you can fix through reconfiguration. Some of it, though, was actually that they were just really poorly designed from a security standpoint.
So. Some hard-coded keys.
Yeah.
That's some of those, which there's no defeating that. Just get a new one. And they point out several models that you should never consider, and if you have them, you just need to put your own firmware on them, because there's no way to patch them into being something useful. So feel good about that. This is one of those situations where the security researcher has found a way to do something, not necessarily something that's being done to anybody. But if you think about it, it does make a lot of sense. I mean, this would be a way to tell when something's going on. Some ways around it would be a pet, a ceiling fan.
Security cameras can tell burglars when you're not home, a study shows. So it's a little specific and it's pretty narrow. So if you've got a security camera that's hooked up wirelessly, the amount of bandwidth that it uses varies according to how much motion it sees. So it would be possible for a burglar or something to look at your wireless network completely passively without decrypting anything and just look at the volume of traffic on your wireless network to determine whether or not there's stuff going on inside your house. It's a little bit of a nothing burger, I think, but maybe you're not thinking about those kinds of things from an operational security standpoint. As always, we recommend hardwiring your cameras.
If a burglar does that, that's like a big brain move. No, like, I can't see a use case where that would ever happen, but wow, that would be...
But they also, you know, like, they still have to get some level of access to see the wireless traffic. So they're still, you know, they've already gotten in somehow.
Well, they could see it if they were parked in a car outside your house. Like, even without having the encryption key, they would know that there's a certain amount of data. They just can't decrypt it.
But like Krista says, you know, a meth head is not going to be doing that. But somebody like, you know... trying to extract Julian Assange from the embassy. This is absolutely something that they would do.
Yeah. So, or somebody that knows that you have a big Bitcoin wallet might hang out in your parking lot to be like, all right, going to break in and steal your computer.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where, you know, like, don't be tweeting your wealth.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's motivated enough, they'll come up with stuff like this. This is another one of those where it's like, is this really going to happen? Now, on one hand, I would say, God, who would do this? But then I remember, like, the pacemaker stories and all those things, and it's like, yeah, I guess people would do it.
Smartwatch hack could trick patients to quote-unquote, take pills with spoofed alerts. So some researchers were saying, it's like, hey, if you set a reminder, there's not really an easy way to tell the difference between a system reminder and a reminder that was created surreptitiously by an attacker. So if you had a dementia patient, which is what the example the article uses, and their watch is constantly flashing take pills, they might be like, okay, well, I guess I should take my pills. I don't remember taking my pills yet today.
You call them up, it's like, how's it going, Dad? Oh, I feel great today. Man, I'm on top of the world. I don't know what it is.
My heart's going a little fast.
But these watches there's some like universal company that makes old people reminder watches. And they point out that the security on the back end of these things is just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So
no surprises there.
This is some sort of like weird dystopian thing where it's like everyone wears a watch and it tells you when to take your pill. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I think there was an episode of Doctor Who about that. And if you didn't take your pill, the robots would vaporize you. It's pretty dark. It's like, you're not happy enough. We have to kill you.
This is a... this is just some guy's website and a little thing he did, but it does point out something that is absolutely not hard to believe at all. And it really points out kind of the model of failure that many big tech companies currently have. And as we move further, hopefully... we move further in to empowering the consumer.
Remember last week's story where it was like Google was like, most people are not going to accept this. And Apple was like, the point.
The point was like the increased risk of refusal or something that they pointed out. Well, it turns out this guy put a number to it.
Only 9% of visitors give GDPR consent to be tracked. 2,321 all-time accepts, 2,321 opt-ins, and 12,000 almost opt-outs. Yeah, not surprising at all. 9% seems a little high to me.
Now, he points out the like the dark patterns and stuff that they use, and he specifically did not do those things. He gave them a very easy yes-no, and I was like, okay, if I give them just absolute control, what portion of my audience will actually do that? So, 48% clicked on it, 9% said yes. Which targeted advertising at 9%?
Yeah,
yeah. That's it could easily be pure misses with 9%.
Yeah.
Because you're looking, and for advertising, you're looking at getting like less than 1% engaged.
We've also seen cancel culture. Like if you have a large enough company that has done something you don't agree with, and some blogger or something says, go to this company's website and demand that they delete all of your data, a lot of companies don't have a great process in place for dealing with that, especially very large companies. And so those requests can cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to actually fulfill.
This video does not match the... what is going on here? That's just an old couple. That's an old couple painting over Black Lives Matter.
Oh, that's also what I have on mine.
Yes. Okay, I guess they're just running something that's unrelated to that. So anyway, eBay, we did the story about the eBay people. It was some high-level people at eBay who were angry because they got some negative reviews in some like newsletter or whatever, and they went to some amazing lengths to terrorize these people. And impressively, the powers that be actually paid attention and something happened.
The seventh former eBay employee charged in cyberstalking campaign targeting a Natick couple. Wow. Seven eBay employees targeting, like, that's insane.
They sent a pig face to their house. They did some other terrible things, called them all the time. The worst one was ordering pornography in their name, but to the neighbor's address. So, yeah. They're going to get in a little trouble for that. If you are a corporate IT person, then you probably already know about this. And if you don't, you're going to get a little chill up your spine when we say this.
It's already
to you.
Too late. Hack brief. Hackers are exploiting a 5-alarm bug in networking equipment. It's F5. It's F5 load balancers. There was an announcement that came out literally on July 3rd, I think. And it was basically like, you have to patch now. And there was a mitigation, but the mitigation was incomplete. They didn't know that. And so if you did the mitigation instead of patching, you're screwed. If you patched, you're basically okay. But if you still haven't patched now, if you still haven't patched your F5 by now, it's already too late. Like, it's already been, you're going to have to, it's just going to be a bad time all the way around.
It wasn't all of their load balancers. Was it 8,000 of them or 800 of them?
No, it was a huge number. Like, it was... It was a pretty big,
maybe it was
8%.
It was definitely not all of them. It was a subset of their products. I can't find it, but yeah, if you are one of them, it's real bad because not only can they get through your get your login just through the web page, they can open a shell with that.
Yeah, a lot of the time people use these load balancers, like their internal network is not really encrypted, so all the encryption is terminated on one of these devices. So if you get access to it, then you can see inside the corporate network in an unencrypted fashion, which is perhaps very bad.
Yeah, 8,000 devices worldwide. So
it still includes 8,000 devices, meaning that there's at least that many that are unpatched.
So
and that's according to a search engine that Shodan, which probably means there's actually many more of those in production.
Probably doesn't apply to you, but it's a good example of you got to always be on top of that stuff. It never sleeps. This I had not heard. Had you guys ever heard of broken heart syndrome?
I'd never heard it called that, but I'd heard of this phenomenon.
Apparently, just being at home and being alone is too much for the average citizen of the earth. Can you imagine somebody from like the Great Depression hearing that headline and being like, oh, really? Oh, well, poor little people.
I mean, the suicide rate did go up pretty dramatically during the Great Depression as well. So, I mean.
The people of ancient Greece, it's like, oh, you're sad? Are you sad? I've lost 5 children.
Broken heart syndrome has increased during the thing, a small study suggests. And so what this is it presents with all the classic symptoms of a heart attack, but it's not, I guess it is kind of a heart attack, but it's not truly a heart attack caused by like,
I don't think it leaves lasting damage.
An artery blockage or anything like that, but yeah.
It's just, you're
it's
so
just
sad.
Weakened heart muscle.
You're so sad that your heart's just like, oh no, I'm too sad.
Usually you hear people talk about this in relation to like a spouse dying and then the other person ends up sick.
But apparently it's
happening just randomly now.
So no lasting damage. You're usually over it between a few days to a week. Here's the major question, engagement challenge, and I'll pose it to you. What's the medical bill?
$40,000.
I think it's low.
Well, and the question I had was, did they test these people for COVID?
I would say so.
Because doesn't that cause heart problems? Like, in theory, they could just be having...
Yeah, some of the stories about people that have quote-unquote recovered really scare the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, the newest scare headline is not only organ damage, but brain damage.
Yeah.
Even if you're asymptomatic.
Microstrokes.
Great. I've always wanted microstrokes. This article, it was a little lacking on details. The headline excited me, and I guess we'll include it, but it really didn't give me the information that I need.
Shock-dissipating fractal cubes could forge high-tech armor. And so, basically, you print, you know, it's 3D printed, but you 3D print voids, like where there's no material. And if it follows a fractal pattern, that has a disruption effect on a shockwave from, say, like a bullet impact. So, this is actually not new. I saw the first, like, experiments with this at a university, like, a year ago. And they've since been experimenting with it. So if you want to 3D print any stuff to take to the range, that might be an interesting video.
I love shards of plastic in my eyes.
No, you put it down range. You print little cubes and shoot them.
The interesting thing about this is, like they were talking about the details of it, and the guys were like, we're not even sure what's happening here. We don't know how this works, but it does for some reason.
Yeah. You can, there is actually a YouTube channel that I saw last year. I tried to find it again, but I couldn't find it. But some guy 3D printed. I don't think they were onto a fractal pattern at that point. But he was 3D printing different internal geometries, and he was actually able to produce some bulletproof material that would stop a 9mm handgun bullet. And it was only a couple inches thick.
I think I remember that story. I think we did that.
Yeah,
they do make a cool product. It's a little block, and there's something about the properties of it. It's like it's unpredictable how it will react to impact. So you shoot it, and it just, like, jumps around unpredictably when you shoot it. So you're like, you keep shooting it, and it's just, like, bouncing back and forth.
Huh.
Man, speaking of 9mm, I actually bought some. I was happy to pay 25 cents a round. I was so
that
excited.
Seems a little high.
Yeah, 20 cents is, like, you know, normal, non-wartime. But, I mean, these days, 38 is not uncommon. It's like, Jesus Christ. They've done some studies, and I don't know if we ever talked about this before, but it turns out that human evolution had at least two paths back in the day, and the whatever led to the Homo erectus was one thing, and then you had the Neanderthals, and they weren't necessarily like a direct part of our path, or at least that's what many people believe. But much like lions and tigers, the two could breed. And even though our path was much more advanced, it seems like they like to go down to the old Neanderthal cage on the weekend or cave and, maybe explore what was going on down there. And maybe that was bad for us.
DNA inherited from Neanderthals may increase the risk of the thing that we currently find ourselves in. This is a New York Times article, so it's got the paywall.
But yeah, apparently, certain parts of Asia have really high levels of this. Europeans is like 4%. So I guess we didn't have availability of Neanderthals. But you got to ask yourself, if we had, just some weird human-like creatures that were very human-like but kind of dumb, people would take advantage of them sexually.
Sex robots?
I don't think sex robots would poison the DNA. Well, I think we've done it, like five stories about Roblox. How is it still as popular as it is?
I can't believe this Forbes article.
I missed the whole Roblox. Crystal, you're younger.
No, it was not. It's beyond my time, too. I think that was even in younger generation.
I don't know what you do in Roblox.
I think it's like Minecraft a little bit, except maybe more social than Minecraft is.
But apparently it is super popular because it is constantly targeted by hackers who want to do things on it that are unsavory.
This is on Forbes. The headline is, Hackers are spreading Trump propaganda through Roblox. And you go on, like, if you only read one article this week, you should read this article because blood will shoot out of your nose because it doesn't make any sense.
So, I take it that there's some sort of phishing going on because you get a repeated, like, message about, I'm making a game and I'm going to put your Roblox character into it. And then I guess they, I'm going to send you instructions how to give me the texture. And when they do that, that's the fish. Then they lose their account. So over and over, people are complaining online saying, hey, this happened to me. And it turns into Trump propaganda somehow.
Well, it's hilarious because, you know, obviously this is mostly kids who play this. And one of the tweets is, they texted all my friends, ask your parents to vote for Trump this year. Because they can't vote. Like,
is this, but like, this seems like there should be a criminal investigation. Like, who's doing this?
You think the Secret Service?
They'll hop right on that.
Can you, what kind of person is, you know, like they're sitting around, you know, like thinking about their problems and their kid comes up and it's like, Dad, you should vote for Trump.
Well,
like,
no, I was thinking this more like this might be a nation state thing. This might actually be a deliberate attempt to like sow dissent. This might not actually be domestic. But if it is domestic, somebody is paying somebody to do this. Nobody would just sit around and do this for the lulz.
Yeah, the 4chan crowd is very pro-Trump.
Yeah, 4chan. And they have nowhere to go. They didn't have it before the pandemic. They don't have it after.
But would somebody really go through this much trouble for the lulz?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Plus, they hate the left because the left is constantly trying to suppress them.
Mm.
And, you know, crapping on them for being incels and stuff like that. So this is a fun way to fight back.
Hmm.
I mean, it could easily be China, but I think China would have a better plan.
I want the server logs. I'll figure it out for myself. Just somebody send me the server logs.
Somebody, just anybody.
Voting, the absentee votes. Now, here in Kentucky, it was very easy to do. Chris, I believe you did it.
It was easy, but frustrating because they sent it to the wrong address, so I had to go get it the day of the election and then try to turn it in.
So you think that the oversight with the whole voter registration thing might be a little lax?
I wouldn't say, like, I mean, they still verified it was me, I guess, but like they sent it to the wrong address, so I mean obviously someone wasn't checking it, because when I requested it I told them send it to this address, not my old one.
Well, the problems maybe a little worse in some other places.
Deceased cat gets a voter registration application in the mail. Somebody's deceased cat that died like 12 years ago?
12 years.
How does it even end up on the voter roll?
I wonder.
Cody Timms, his cat.
You know, they could charge that guy with voter fraud.
And they pointed out that it's not the government necessarily, but like PACs and third-party places and stuff like that can send out voter registration stuff. Like it's legal to do that. And they're trying to get as many people on there as they can who they think are voting a certain way.
Ew.
So, yeah.
Read the last sentence of the article.
Yeah, they ask him what political affiliation the cat was.
Why? Why do they have to ruin a good story?
Well, Krista, what was it?
His owner said he was a demo cat.
Which means he was a cat that loves demolition, right?
So, Snarf, then.
From the Thundercats?
Mm-hmm.
Did he love demolition?
It would always cause a lot of trouble.
I'm going to agree to this stupid cookie, even though I don't want to. So, elephants. Krista, what would you do if you found elephants trampling your container garden?
I would be upset and confused. Though this is not unheard of in some of the missionary groups that they'll like send us updates and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, hippos came and trampled all the crops again today. And it's like, what?
I've been sitting here trying to think of a headline for the news, but it's just too long. Everything I come up with, it's like, Saturday Night Fever even keeps elephants away.
Something about never forgets.
Never forget Saturday Night Fever.
You can tell by the way I raid these crops.
That's pretty good. So, Botswana, they've come up with a novel solution.
Disco lights deployed as a new defense against Botswana's crop raiding elephants. It's successful about 75% of the time.
How long do you think before the elephants start to realize, hey, these are just lights?
Look at them.
Soon.
These evil bastards. So it's, they call them disco lights, but if you watch the video, I don't know if that's just blinking lights. I would expect the ball, the rotating ball with all the...
Yeah, they should have called that like a rave light.
Yeah, that's a good point. But apparently it works. And you could probably power that with solar pretty easily, depending on how often it blinks.
I think a drone with some lights on them would be pretty good. Oh, those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Those are way less expensive than a drone with lights.
Yeah. they don't consume as much power, I'm sure. So, the question is, though, how long until the elephants figure it out? Because elephants are smart. Look at that. He's just coming for your crops, Krista. He wants those pumpkins.
Oh, the pumpkins. The pumpkins are spontaneously aborting.
What?
So, when you have a female flower, it gets pollinated by the male flower, and then it starts to grow a little pumpkin. And I've had two different ones where they start to grow a pumpkin, and they get, like, maybe the size of, like, a tennis ball or a golf ball, and then they just rot off, and I don't know why.
You know what? They're looking through the window, and they see some of the headlines that you're reading on your computer, and they're like, no. Not me.
reading about making pumpkin pie, canned pumpkin, and they're like...
No, it's just they're seeing what's going on in 2020.
Engagement challenge, what's wrong with Krista's pumpkins? Is it a lack of water, nutrients, what?
I water it every day, just about. So, like, I don't know. The leaves all look really good.
Rue's urine.
No, Rue doesn't pee on it. Rue's not interested in the pumpkin plant because it's spiky. She doesn't like it. All our other crops doing really good, but the pumpkin...
Well, how does Rue feel about chicken legs?
Rue's for them. Rue tendies. Any kind of food, really, Rue's into.
Well, maybe she could be the next viral star, like this man was.
Millions watch an Indian man eat chicken legs on TikTok until the app was banned.
I really wanted to see the video.
I did, too. I wanted clips, but apparently he didn't do it on any other platform, and now that TikTok is banned, he has no way to get to his videos.
Wow.
Well, this video was positioned absolutely, and the article if that were
my 15 minutes of fame, I would feel so robbed.
But, it's millions of people, and not all of them in India. There were some international people were watching him every day. He would eat chicken wings. You think you'd ever get too tired of chicken wings to do it every day?
No, it's probably one of those hypnotic things where he was just so good at it that it was just hypnotic. Kind of like Alton Brown deboning a chicken. He's just so good at it. It's just unbelievable.
They said his personality was so upbeat. People really liked it.
It's like MRE guy.
There's another weird trend that me and my husband found on YouTube, and there was like three or four YouTubers who do this, where they just eat like really messy seafood. And I don't understand it. I'm like, is there a sexual component here, or is it just like I really like seafood and I can't get it right now?
But when you say messy, are we talking about like lobster thermidor or like what?
Like they'll eat like crab legs or something, and then they dip it in butter, and like the butter just goes everywhere.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. That's maybe this is like the same kind of thing.
It's an expensive stream there.
Yeah. Maybe it's tax deductible. Maybe it's like, you know.
Or maybe they're fishermen.
It's a weird little like niche of YouTube that we fell down the black hole. It's like, why is this here?
So we've talked a lot about all the companies that are trying to beat Twitch or just be competitive with Twitch. And you had Mixer, who has just recently died. You had YouTube Gaming, RIP. Facebook's trying their thing. Nobody can get the magic. And part of the Twitch magic has to do with the kind of like laissez-faire anarchy that goes on there. Like there's money being thrown around, but there's also just, you know, pure evil and this weird
spam.
Yeah, just balance of power and people just, you know, just doing whatever they want. And that doesn't seem to mesh very well with the rigid control that the military likes to have over things.
The U.S. Army Esports Twitch channel is banning viewers for mentioning American war crimes. Yeah. The U.S. Army is trying to be a part of the esports culture and its marketing efforts to connect with the youth, but what they didn't take into account is the unpredictability and unforgiving nature of the internet.
So they keep banning people and they just keep making new accounts and coming back and talking about the war crimes again.
It's like, oh man, that was amazing. That's better than that time that you guys blew up the van full of journalists.
And they point out that also this their weird tweets. What is this?
That's a reply to Discord. So,
but it's the army. Why would the army ever say ooh woo? And they have
desperately trying to get recruiting back up.
These are not actual, I mean, these are people who are in the military, but they're, you know, like people who are also esports people. I think it's kind of like when Elvis was in the military.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't deal well with the heckling if you watch the clip. So, yeah. They've also been criticized for, it's like you're targeting something that's obviously meant for younger crowd to bring them into your death machine. But they've always done that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they were pretty aggressive in high school.
Yeah. I had one of my cousins who later died in Afghanistan. He expressed interest, and the guy came to his house every Sunday at 7 a.m. until he joined.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. What kind of... I mean, that's a personality that's like, no, we're just going to keep doing this till you give up. That's who we are.
Scary.
Borat. Ollie G. Trying to think of his real name. Sacha Baron Cohen. He, very popular, but you got to give him the thing that I think is his secret power. Or maybe I'm just not aware of him enough, but like, it seems like he'll do something and then just go into hiding. And let it all, like, the let everybody forget, and then he strikes again.
Yeah,
and he gets these high profile people time after time.
Rudy Giuliani calls New York police after being pranked by Sacha Baron Cohen. He referred to him as a chameleon. It's like, oh man, it's a chameleon. So he arranged an interview. Somehow he arranged an interview with Rudy Giuliani. I haven't seen the interview; it's not out yet, but it's going to probably be a thing. But yeah, he got pranked. And then Rudy Giuliani made some really inappropriate remarks about the people of Kazakhstan.
But he did. So I think, I didn't, in the text, they don't really explain about him calling the cops. I think he called the cops on the spot because he was afraid. So what happened is they set him up and they had another female interviewer there asking him real questions. And then at some point, Sacha Baron Cohen burst out in a micro bikini and like sort of, I don't think he didn't attack him, but you know, just sort of accosted him verbally or whatever. And so I think that's when he called the cops. But once he realized what had happened, he seemed to take it pretty well.
Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm in good company having been pranked, I guess.
I remember, it was funny and it was not handled well, but it always hurt my feelings that he did it to Ron Paul. Cause it's like, Jesus, man. We really need him to be popular. But yeah, he didn't handle it well. He just kept like plowing through trying to get his point across. That's like, dude, you got to have some awareness. Some situational awareness.
I haven't laughed as hard as the one when he's pretending to be like the Saudi Arabian security guy and he was meeting with a congressperson and he was something as like, "Oh yeah, we're going to give our 12-year-olds, you know, automatic weapons or whatever." And the congressperson was like, "I guess whatever."
Yeah.
It's like
got a lunch to get to, see ya.
I love the one where he goes camping with those like real right wing guys. He keeps bringing the conversation back to the pooping shaft. It's just like they get silent and really dangerous and he just keeps going. You gotta give it up, the man's got balls of steel. I guess there is a camera crew there so that he can have some comfort, but still. And speaking of the government and their attempts to control our lives, they've decided to ban a certain kind of milling machine. But what they don't understand is every kind of milling machine can do this.
Congress moves to ban milling machines that can make guns, which, as it turns out, is all milling machines. So I guess the article sort of makes this out to think that like the Congress critters are worried about 3D printers, and
they have the ghost gun mill, which is like it's a regular mill, but it's got the block set up and everything perfectly. It's like, okay, you take this piece of aluminum, you put it in, you push the button, you get lower receiver.
Yeah,
so that's the ones that are after. But
like Factorio.
Yeah, but if you know what you're doing, it's just like every other milling machine. You could set up any milling machine to do that.
It seems like this would be unconstitutional because the Supreme Court has pretty clearly said that you can make your own firearms for your own personal use, no problem.
They arrested a guy recently who had a homemade gun.
They arrested a lot of people for the homemade gun parties where, like, you bring your own stuff.
He was like marching with cops or something like that, or he showed up at a protest or something, and they're like, "What is this guy's not a cop?" And they arrested him, and he's like, "Yeah, I just wanted to be here. I wanted to be part of it," and he had his homemade gun, so they got it back in the fear cloud of the government.
This website. There's a headline for Bunkers.
Bunkers are apparently booming right now.
Yes. Yeah. That was definitely a large part of the reason for my house purchase.
I saw somebody in the Twitch, one of the Twitch lurkers posted, somewhere in Vermont, there's a 155-acre college campus for sale.
Oh.
Starting bid, $20 million.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
If only we were Linus-sized.
Oh, but owning a college campus? The running cost is probably pretty high, though.
Did you see that the giant mansion where we're from is for sale?
No.
It's only a tiny fraction of that cost, but it is just as palatial.
But this place, I had a lot of pictures that look good, and it's like, yeah, you get all the, you know, the athletic stuff. You get pools.
Has all of that been maintained, though, or is it just falling apart?
The pictures looked really good. It didn't look like it was, burnt out or anything.
What kind of a business could we parlay the YouTube empire into that would actually be able to pay the...
You would have to do some sort of, people visiting there and paying to participate.
It would have to be... It'd have to generate about $350,000 a month to cover that mortgage and operational costs.
That's going to be tough.
And the tourism right now here in the United States, not at all.
That's true, yeah. Right now's not the time.
Though, did you see, I think, that they introduced a bill that was, giving Americans, a vacation tax credit for, up to $4,000?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, is that really what we should be, focused on right now? I'm not really sure.
No.
Well, if you don't want to take a vacation and you're thinking of something to do instead to sort of unwind... You could watch some baby owls, so the owl families. Oh. I say that you could.
It's back.
I think it's back, yeah, but for a while there, it was iffy.
Doncaster baby owl webcam has been banned by Facebook over sex and nudity rule, according to the BBC. But they reinstated it because this was the algorithm run amok. So this guy had some baby owls nesting in his backyard, and he's like, you know what? I'm bored. There's nothing to do. Gonna set up a webcam so I can share this with the internet. And it got really popular.
These babies are, I think this is one of the few things in nature that looks better when it's grown up. Look at these hideous little monsters.
Well, it's true of all birds. None of them look good when they're babies.
That's just not lovable at all. Now, sadly, there were 8 babies, but apparently the weather was really bad for a while, and there was some heavy wind, which prevented them from hunting for a while. Now there's 2 babies.
Aww.
I mean, couldn't he go out there and throw the steak in there or something?
It was a little too late. It's like, oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Well, what about, I guess they eat little mice and stuff. Did you have to disinfect? Did you have to dissect owl pellets when you were in school?
We did frogs.
Oh, we dissected owl pellets. And I was jealous because one of my lab mates got a whole mouse skull in hers and I didn't get anything cool like that.
Jackpot.
Disappointing.
Your owl sucked. Maybe the heavy winds prevented your owl from hunting.
Prevented them from getting any mouse skulls.
Yeah.
It was only able to forage grains.
Last week we talked about the, was it Italian or Spanish?
I think it was Italian. He went into the shower with Zoom still running.
Yeah, the guy took a shower and I think he was going to resign. He was being asked to resign, even though it's like, is that a big deal? And this week we have maybe a little bit more disturbing version of that.
South Sudan diplomat urinates during a live panel presentation. This is VOAnews.com. So, yeah, South Sudanese diplomat in the United States sparked online uproar. I don't think he's offered to resign. He was just like, oh, yeah, oops.
Now, he says that this is fake news and his enemies are spreading it. But here's the terrifying part about this video. The other guy... He thought when he downsized the window that they couldn't see him. So he was attending the meeting regularly, and then he got up and stripped down and got in the shower. This guy, he was wearing a t-shirt, and they claimed he was screaming at the other participants. And they suspected he might be drunk. And then when he stood up to go and use the restroom, nothing on the bottom. He'd been nude from the waist down the entire time.
Legendary status.
I have so many questions. Obviously, they don't include the video in this link. But
No, they didn't include the video there. It would have been interesting to see, I guess. I don't know if I would have been tempted to watch that one. Cancel culture, man, it's just that. It's every day something else happens, and I just sit back and it's like, wow. It's just shocking. It's amazing. And I've always felt somewhat like, you know, insulated from it, because it's like, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to cancel? I don't care. I don't belong to anything. But they're getting so powerful now that even I'm getting scared.
We're going to cancel your ability to buy groceries at Walmart.
Yeah, well, it could come to that, right? And so some big names got together and they said, hey, you know, this is a real problem. We need to do something about it.
Liberal writers, activists assign open letter calling for an end to cancel culture. Signatures include J.K. Rowling, Barbara Weiss, Noam Chomsky, and Gloria Steinem. J.K. Rowling's been... Well, I mean, that's probably why Fox News mentioned...
Yeah, she's had some... she said some things about gender.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't call them inflammatory. I'd call them an opinion, but... They pissed some people off. Now, the amazing thing about this story, and Fox doesn't get into it. I guess when they posted this, it hadn't happened yet. But after this, the cancel culture came after them so hard that a lot of these people denounced this, pulled their name, and it, like, the talk about the Streisand effect.
Yeah.
It just, they are now more hated than ever before because they dared to point out the problems with cancel culture.
I mean, there have been a few times where you and I were basically saying, it's like, can we just have a reasonable disagreement? Like, is that even possible? And you can't even have a reasonable disagreement.
Well, that's what they pointed out. They pointed out, it's like, hey, you need to have debate. You need to appreciate that people are going to have different opinions. And you can't just stop them from expressing their opinions. That's not what our world is about. And, that was,
well, it's an escalation. It's not just that there's a difference of opinion. It's that, like, a relatively minor difference of opinion is so insane that I want to take away your ability to buy groceries.
Right. Literal violence.
Or earn a living or whatever.
Literal violence is the phrase that is always thrown around. Like, somehow...
Which, if you don't agree with someone's, like, thinking and you're like, well, I don't want to buy your stuff, that's fine. But, like, it's not enough to just say, like, I'm not going to buy books by J.K. Rowling anymore. It's... You know, I don't want her on Twitter. I don't want her to talk anymore. Like,
yeah, I saw somebody that was like, no, I'm going to continue to do fan stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but that's her universe. Like, you're still, like, you're not, like.
Oh, listen, I absolutely loathe that Harry Potter garbage. And if people talk about it and they reference it, I'm just like, ugh. But I would never consider, like, why would I waste my time?
Yeah. Just don't care.
Yeah, but I love it when they eat their own, because she's an unapologetic liberal, and it's like, oh, well, enjoy that, the militant arm of your people there. Maybe don't choose left or right. Maybe have your own complex mix of opinions.
Anyway,
Pokemon. Now, this was there's an interesting little insult to the American people here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, and clearly the Japanese company didn't think twice about saying this, but apparently there was a fear that Pokemon would never take off in the U.S. I mean, it clearly has. Why not, you think? Because maybe we don't like adorable little animals? No, it's because American children don't care to read.
Game Freak was given a proposal to change Pikachu into, quote, something like a tiger with huge breasts for Pokemon's overseas debut. Yeah, they go on to explain how, you know, American kids, they don't really want to do a lot of reading. I believe that. I mean, there were Nintendo games like, what was Final Fantasy II here, but I think it was like Final Fantasy V. A lot of reading in that game. Not popular as a result.
Even, I remember Final Fantasy VII when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And that was like, changed the game. Everybody's like, oh my God, Final Fantasy VII, this is the greatest RPG that's ever been. And there were definitely some people that's like, no, nah, man, I'm not about that.
I had to read. I don't know what's going on.
So much reading. Krista, will you go ahead and pledge that later on this week you will tweet your interpretation of, quote, something like a tiger with huge breasts?
No, not doing it.
Give it a little Pikachu tail.
Oh, that would be an awesome Patreon reward.
If you look at the Patreon, if you do that, you can say that I will refuse certain things.
Oh, you're such a killjoy.
And Pikachu, but as a tiger with breasts, is on that list.
Was it, is Pikachu female?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. Actually,
is Pikachu female? Wow, I had no idea.
You know what? I'm going to look it up.
Pikachu on the movie is voiced by the male actor, right?
Oh, yeah. Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, no. It says it's confirmed Pikachu is male.
That's even weird.
Why does Pikachu need a gender? I mean, this is 2020.
Well, considering you do breed them. There's a question on...
Again, why does Pikachu Pokemon need a gender?
Pokemon Q&A. Is Ash's Pikachu a girl or a boy?
We just need to get enough of them together and nature will work itself out. It's fine.
And then people, like, there's, like, references to the canon of the show and the books.
Yeah, we're probably in trouble just for asking the question. Oh, this has been one of the greatest weeks for conspiracy theories. Man, I've been down the rabbit hole. Have you been keeping up with these?
A little bit, yeah.
The first one, we don't have a story about this one, but the first one is the Maxwell Hill thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Reddit account. It's like the number two.
That is so good.
Did it turn out to be true?
Oh, who knows?
We'll probably never know.
There are some, like, they bring up a lot of the clues about the account that line up, like dates where it, like, it posts almost every day, and dates where it doesn't post line up with events in her life, like deaths in the family and parties she went to overseas and stuff like that. But apparently the account also, by stitching together the details, it would be a 40-year-old male, and she's a 50-some-year-old female. So I don't know, but I hope it's true. Because, I mean, the most damning thing is this account has never not posted this long since the arrest.
Wow.
So that's a good one. Dig into that one, chat. This one, even crazier. I mean, absolute insanity. And did you look into this one at all?
Yes.
Because there are some serious questions.
Wayfair has been on top of this one, too. It's like Fox Business is reporting. Wayfair is denying that the Reddit human sex trafficking conspiracy theory is a thing. So, forum users speculated that expensive cabinets with human-style product names were a front. So, you could order a cabinet and get a human.
$10,000, generally, is about what they would cost. There you go. These look very average.
Yeah.
What feature about that cabinet could possibly be worth $10,000? Now, the names are not common names. It's not like, you know, John and Jane here.
Generic cabinet 37.
And the sleuths on Reddit and 4chan have been able to find, and, you know, based on the numbers, maybe this is easy to do, I don't know. But they've been able to find missing teens and children with those same names recently missing. So the assumption is, I guess you go on Wayfair, you buy the ridiculously overpriced item.
So what you're telling me is Wayfair is the Madrigal electromotive.
Now, okay, so Fox News, they're downplaying it with this article, and one of the things they point out is that Wayfair said that these are actually really, really good industrial strength cabinets, and they really do cost $12,000. Now, is there such a thing?
I was, you know, before the pandemic, I was looking at an industrial cabinet that had, like, the little removable bins, like the parts bins, and it had, like, four different sizes, and it would, like, close together. So, like, when it closed, everything was locked in place so nothing would spill, and when you open it, you had all these little removable bins. And it had, like, it was, you know, a 6.5-7 foot tall cabinet, and it had like 244 little plastic bins in it. And it was like, man, this would be perfect for computer parts and screws and crap like that. But it was like $1,700. And I was like, that is a lot of money to pay for a cabinet. But it does have 244 plastic things in it. There's a bunch of different sizes.
That's quite a bit less than $12,000.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and it was made out of like the hammered steel with like reinforced corners. And it was super industrial and super lockable. So like $12,000? Like,
now, okay. But let's devil's advocate, there is a $12,000 cabinet and you buy it on Wayfair instead of from, you know, like a specialty shop or whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
There are
Why isn't anyone doing any investigative journalism and just buying one? Yeah. See what
shows
up.
They took them all down. They're gone. But here's the wrench into those works. There were also pillows for $10,000. Yeah.
Huh.
What about a pillow would make it worth $10,000?
Literally nothing.
Is the stuffing made of gold bullion?
own down quilts that only cost $200, so... if it was the nicest down available.
You can't, as a third-party seller, you can't sell on Wayfair, can you?
I'm not sure how that works.
I followed a couple of federal cases where they figured out, like, the mob or some drug company or something was laundering money through eBay and Amazon by listing ordinary products at really just insane prices. And that was the way that they caught one of them, is because they ordered a book or something that was, like, just a regular book, and it was, like, $10,000 on Amazon.
The other weird thing about it, I mean, if you saw the screenshot there, those are, like, these two are the same picture, right? And so are those. So they all have different names, but the product description, other than the name and the picture, are all the same.
Hmm.
And Wayfair explains some of the way. It's like, those are just stock photos. If you sell a car for $12,000, you're going to take 50 pictures of it. Yeah. $12,000, it's like, I just used the stock photo.
Yeah, that was the other thing that I was going to go with my cabinet, is like the cabinet where it did all those fancy things. There was at least 20 pictures, because it was like, this is the cabinet that you're getting.
And a big list of features, right? Yeah. Well, these got none of that.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't understand. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's magnetic and it latches, and if I topple the cabinet, it won't, you know, spill everything. This is amazing. I need this cabinet in my life.
You know what the craziest thing about the Maxwell Hill thing, though, is it's already been politicized. Because believing that might be her is apparently pro-Trump now. And also, one of my favorite things about it is Kathy Griffin tweeted, and she was like, oh my God, this is the ultimate, like, don't ever read this because it's just Trump-tard QAnon insanity and you'll never be the same after reading it. And somebody replied to her tweet, and it was the list of known celebrities on the Epstein plane, including Kathy Griffin. maybe don't comment on that. And
that's not even the most insane story this week.
This one, I don't know. She downplayed this and made a couple of comments that maybe make it less insane, but it's pretty insane.
Las Vegas councilwoman appears to wear underwear as a mask in Twitter photo. What?
But she also refers to it as N69 mask.
Is that she's downplaying that. It's like, wouldn't that point to it being
panties? It could also be a doily, couldn't it? Do people still have those?
You know what really, really drives me crazy about this picture is that mask is not symmetrical at all.
Yeah.
It's off.
And the very large holes seem like a lot of droplets could get through.
Well, now she claims that there is a filter that she removed puts in it for the picture. Yeah. Which means the mask really doesn't have any function.
Hmm. That's horrifying.
Yeah. And she's apparently a bit of a lightning rod locally.
Neat.
So people not a fan of hers.
Are you in Las Vegas? Engagement challenge. WTF. Explain below.
I couldn't get a feel like, is she selling those, or she kept naming them, like Krista said, the N69 over and over, like really pointing out to this is the N69. Well, as we reopen, maybe for who knows how long, there are a lot of rules about who gets to reopen. And one of the categories that can't reopen, at least in New York, is strip clubs. You can't have any sort of performance, but you can serve food. So that's a bit of a loophole.
Niagara Falls strip club set to open without strippers on Saturday. I'm sure that next Friday in the nonsense section will tell you how that went.
So you're wondering, why would you go to a strip club if there are no strippers? Well, it turns out that they built a patio because if a structure has a roof but lacks two walls, that's outside. And if you're outside, the rules don't apply. And the food is going to be served by some quote-unquote scantily clad waitresses.
Nice. Yeah.
But here's the rule. You can't be topless outside on the patio.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
So
do you think the strippers are like more or less excited about becoming waitresses?
I bet they're gonna be like dropping drinks on people.
it's kind of like a career shift.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? Like,
although,
and you probably don't get as good of tips.
Here, it's a weird kind of thing. The couple of times that I've been to a strip club, I went to college a couple of times. I'm not a huge strip club connoisseur, but the girls bringing the drinks are sometimes way hotter than the strippers. And I think it's one of those situations where it's like, I still get tips and I'll be a part of this world, but as long as I'm not on the stage naked, I'm above it. So it's kind of like a gateway drug, I think.
Or you could also, I mean, I don't know though, like conceivably I'll say if you put it on a resume, like if you just say you're a waitress, does anyone believe that?
Exactly.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. Weird.
Well, they're going to try it out. They interviewed some of the other clubs around, this is in Canada, by the way. And they're like, listen, I'm not spending $30,000 to build a patio. Because somebody might find a vaccine in a month, and then that's good. No one goes to a strip club to be on the patio. Krista, give us a Wayfair conspiracy goodbye.
Yeah, it's like you're muffled inside of the cabinet. Yes, that's getting shipped.
That's excellently dark. I think we all understood what was said there.
Good.